ask for your prayers this morning. Thank the Lord for this day, for this opportunity to be here. I didn't think I would be here this morning. I originally thought I would be at work, but the Lord worked it out that we were here, and I'm thankful for this opportunity. I feel in very much need of the Lord today, that He will bless this thought. If I can borrow a line from another minister I heard say, this thought and this burden will only go as far, will only as work, as far as the Lord will allow it to go. It will only bless as much as the Lord allows it to bless. So I do covet your prayers this morning. Y'all say a prayer for me. I have an unusual something I would like for y'all to do for me this morning. It's an unusual task, something we're not used to, but I would like y'all to, if you would do me the favor and play along. I'd like for each one, if you could, please get out a piece of paper and a pen or a pencil, something to write with. And I want to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to answer that question. Again, I know it's a little different, but if you don't mind, I would like for you to have the visual in front of you. The question I want to ask you this morning to write down is that, first of all, I want you to just give it a little bit of thought. I want you to think of your favorite place, wherever that's at, whether it's your favorite place or your favorite place to go. It might be a vacation you've been on. It might be a vacation that you want to go on here in the United States, overseas. Maybe it's your bedroom closet. Maybe it's the grocery store. Wherever your favorite place is, I want you to think about that. And if you could, wherever you could be right now, I want you to write that down in one or two words. And then I want you to think about the reason. Why is that your favorite place? Or why do you want to be there? Whatever reason it might be. So your favorite place to be or to go, and the reason behind that. We'll come back to that question and that answer a little bit later on. I've written on the board the importance of knowing. I had someone say to me earlier this week, they said, "Chad," they said, I was going through something, and just a circumstance, and a very unusual circumstance. And someone said, "Well, Chad, you're just going to have to know where you stand. You're going to have to know what you think about this and your views on this. You're going to have to know, and you're going to have to be sure what you're going to do." The importance of knowing. I think it's very important that we are very sure of certain things in our lives. I'll ask you another question. Well, let me back up a little bit. I was thinking of a scripture. I believe it's over in 1 Corinthians. I think it's Paul that said, he said, For I am determined not to know anything among you, but to save Jesus Christ. And that word save can mean accept. For I am determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. One of the commentaries said, "For I am determined, I made a resolution. It was my fixed, deliberate purpose. When I came here among you," those who He was talking to, "it was not a matter of accident, not a matter of chance, that I made Christ my great and constant theme. I am determined, and I know that's my constant theme, and that is Christ. I'm not going to give my time and attention while I'm here among you to your conversations, your laws, your thoughts, and whatever you have to say while I'm here among you. But I have one thing that I know for sure. And I am determined that that one thing I'm going to know is Jesus Christ. Not what you have to say, but I know for sure that it's Him and Him crucified. So the importance of being sure, the importance of knowing. A couple more questions I'll ask you. And I think it's a very important question. We'll make it a two-part question. Why did you come here this morning? Why are you here in service? Do you know why you came to service this morning? Is it because at 9:45 we know Sunday school starts and we know that about 10 o'clock the children will go to their Sunday school rooms, and if I'm a Sunday school teacher, that if I don't show up, there's going to be a gap to fill, it's just going to be an awkward situation, so I need to go because I have a class to teach? Maybe so. Am I here because I just haven't been to service in a while? And if I don't show up, man, I might be the topic of conversation. My name might start getting passed around. Man, I haven't seen so-and-so at service in a while. Because those conversations do go around, believe it or not. Did I wake up this morning and think, well, man, I really need to get the children to Sunday school or to church this morning. I haven't put forth the effort to get them in service. I think it's good to know why we're here this morning. Maybe it's just something that I do. Maybe I'm just the person that walks through those doors every time we start service. And I'm the person that's going to fill my seat no matter what. Is that why I'm here this morning? I think it's very important that we stop and we think about why are we here? Why did we put forth effort to come here when this would have been a perfectly good day? It's a beautiful day. The temperature changing outside. Most of us will probably go to work tomorrow, and this would have been the perfect day to get a couple extra hours sleep. But no, I got up and I came to service. Why? Do I know why I came to service this morning? Why do I do the things that I do? Why do I believe the way I believe? If I'm one that wants to believe in the Lord for healing and for those sort of things, why do I believe that He can heal? Why do I say I'm going to put my trust in Him? Why do I not do the things that the world partakes of? Why do I not partake of those things? The things that the world condones and says is okay. Do I know? Do I know why I say it's not okay? Some of those things we talked about in Sunday school this morning, the things that we see around us changing. Do I know why I don't put my approval on those things? Why am I here this morning? Why do I do the things that I do? Do I know why? Did I come? Maybe you came for the right reasons. Maybe you're hungry. Maybe you're thirsty. Maybe there's some things in your life that you're looking for, some gaps to fill. Maybe you just came because you wanted to be with the saints and you wanted to kneel down and pray and you wanted to lift your voices in song. If that's your reason for being here, you come to the right place. This is the place to be. But is it? Is that why you came? Do you know why you are here this morning? We are going to face things in life. We are going to come up against things that we are going to have to know the reason we do what we do, and the reason we believe what we believe. We're going to come up against some things that is going to test us, to shake us, to stir us up, and we're going to have something to hold on to, something to stand on, something that I believe in, that I not waver from my beliefs. And I'm going to have to know what that is and what I'm standing on. And I'm not going to be able to get away from that. There's a scripture that said, let us hold fast. I hope I quote it right. Let us hold fast our profession. Something like that, without wavering. Lord, help me to know where I stand, what I have a hold of, if I have a hold of anything. That I know, that I am determined to know, that I know without any uncertainty, that I am so confident that I know what I'm holding on to, that I know what I have. But then I think it has to start with honesty. I have to be able to be honest with myself. To be able to look within myself and ask and seek the Lord and say, Lord, is what do I have? Maybe I don't have what I thought I had. I can say all day long that if I ever face this situation or if I ever find myself in this place, this is what I have. This is what I've got a hold of. This is where I'm going to stand, and I'm determined to stand here. But wait till that situation comes. Wait, as we talked this morning in Sunday school again, about the trials that come. Wait till I'm in that trial. Then, what do I have something to stand on? The importance of knowing. It's very important that we know what we have. Is it going to hold me up? Is it something that I can cling to? I'd like to look at a story in the Bible, a story of Job. There's a lot in this story. Of course, we won't read it all. Starting in Job, the first chapter. Read a few verses here. I just want to talk a little bit about what Job went through. Job 1, starting at verse 1. Said, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance was also 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men in the east. Man, we look at a man. Here it says he was perfect before God. Now we know nobody's perfect, but this can also mean that he was blameless. He was upright. He was a man that God looked down on, and this was a man that feared God and loved God with all his heart. And if you were to step back, if you could have been there and step back and assess Job and his situation, man, I can't help but think I would look at him and think, man, he's got it going on. Man, look at all the stuff that he has. All this livestock, these sheep and thousands of camels and the oxen and the donkeys, and he's got his family right there. Man, he's got it all. Look at old Job. Man, doing well for himself. But Job's life took a turn, a major turn. A turn for the worst. So we won't read through all the details, but Satan comes and Satan talks to God. And it ended up being that God said, hey, have you considered my servant Job? Have you seen how he loves me? Have you seen how he thinks about me? And Satan, in my own words, says, well, I tell you what. Of course he loves you. Look at all you've blessed him with. Look at all you've done for him. Look at how you keep him protected. But I tell you what, you take away everything he's got, he'll curse you to your face. So there's a little more talking going on, and God says, okay, He said, I tell you what, you can have everything, touch everything he owns, but don't take his life. So Satan comes down and touches the things that Job has and starts to take them away. And Job's just hanging out one day, enjoying life, maybe thinking about all the stuff he's got and how much he loves God. And a messenger comes, running up toward him, and says, Job, the enemy has come. The enemy has come and taken all our oxen, killed our servants, and I'm the only one that escaped to tell you. And man, I wonder what Job thought. Like, man, what is going on? Before that servant could get through talking, another one runs up and says, Job, fire from heaven fell down, burned up all the sheep, and got the servants, and only myself was able to escape to come tell you. It's piling up on him pretty quickly. And before that servant could get through talking, another one comes and says, the Chaldeans came. They took away our camels. They killed some more of our servants. And I alone, I'm the only one. I made it to tell you. And I mean, I can't help but wonder if, man, Job might have started praying right here and thinking, what is going on? What have I done? What am I up against? And then that last messenger comes and says, a great wind came and knocked down the house, and it killed all your children. And I've come here to tell you how devastating this would have been. You've had all this stuff. You're doing good. You love the Lord. And everything is going the way it should. And just like that, you've lost everything you've got, everything you've owned, and even your children. I wonder what my reaction would have been. I wonder if I would have known at that minute in my life, at that very moment, after all these things hit me, what would have been my response? What would I have said? What would I have done if something like that would have fell upon me within just a matter of, from what we can tell, instantaneously in a matter of a minute? What would my reaction would have been? If you look over at verse 21, look at Job's response. Let's start at verse 20. It said, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down on the ground and worshipped. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would I be able to say, blessed be the name of the Lord? If the Lord came right now and took my job away from me, and the paychecks quit coming in, and the car quit working, and my legs got paralyzed, and I couldn't go here, and I couldn't go there, And my children or my wife or my spouse fell deathly sick, and would I be able to say, blessed be the name of the Lord? Do I have something within me, something within my heart? Am I in the place? Do I know if I'm in that place that I can say, blessed be the name of the Lord? Well, the story goes on. And Job still loved the Lord. He still blessed the Lord. And we find that Satan and God come and started talking again. And the Lord said the same thing. He said, have you considered my servant Job? Have you seen, no matter what he's been through, that he's still blessing and talking about me and praising my name? And Satan said, of course. He said, You're keeping your hand on his flesh, and you're keeping your hand on his bones. And, of course, you're still protecting him. He said, let me have his life. Or let me afflict his body, and he'll curse you to your face. So the Lord granted Satan that wish. So Satan, as we know the story, covered Job in boils. It said from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. Now, not only did I just lose everything I had, including my children, but now I have boils on the soles of my feet to the top of my head. How in the world am I supposed to get any relief? Can I sit down? Can I stand up? Look at the situation he was in. But Job goes on to say, Job, look at chapter 13. His wife comes to him. He says, curse God and die. His wife comes against him. His friends came to comfort and to talk to him. But in the end, they were on his case. They were in his ear. His wife was in the other ear, and he's hearing all this. And in chapter 13, verse 13, Job says, hold your peace and let me alone. He said that I may speak and let come on me what will. Wherefore do I take my flesh and my teeth and put my life in my own hand? And this is verse 15. This is what I want us to see. Though he slay me, this was mentioned Wednesday night in service, if you got to hear it then. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Look over in chapter 19, verse 25. Chapter 19, verse 20 says, he says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. I know my Redeemer lives. Job knew. He knew the serious affliction and the circumstances that he had went through, but he knew that he had a trust in someone that was much bigger than he. And thank the Lord that we can know that we can have a trust in someone and have a hold of something that is much bigger than us. No matter what he allows to come my way, no matter what circumstance I find myself in, I'm going to have to know and I'm going to have to get a hold of something. I'm going to have to know with all certainty and beyond the shadow of a doubt where my trust is at and where my faith is at and what my faith is in. Lord, help me to be like Job. That no matter what I face, that I can be in my mind, that it's no accident, that I am for sure, that I know where I'm at and what I'm standing on and what I have a hold of. There are going to be, you know, it seems like these words have been mentioned so many times over the last few weeks. And I almost hate just to keep bringing them up. But there are going to be times in our life and things we are going to face. No, we might not go through all the things that Job went through in his life all at one time like that. And thank the Lord for those times when we are on the mountains. Thank the Lord for those victories and, man, the help and all those things that he gives us. But sooner or later, we're going to find ourselves down in the valley somewhere. I read something the other day. They said being on the mountain is the easy part. That is the easy part. That's where I'm uplifted and, man, I'm encouraged and I'm going forward. But the real strength, I read, is to be able to go down the mountain. That's where the real strength comes in. That's when I need to know that I've got something. Is when I know I have to go down the mountain. Because when I get down there, I'm going to have a hold of something. I know I'm going to face some things. Folks, in life, we are going to be faced with some things. We may see it coming, and there are times we may not see it coming. It may catch us from behind. It may catch us sideways. And I'm telling you, we're going to feel like somebody has just yanked the rug out from underneath us, and sometimes some things might just yank the rug out from underneath us. And we might fall down, and we might be laying on our back, and I'm telling you, we might face some things, and it just looks like it's staring us in the face. What then? What do I do when these things are standing over me? When circumstances, right? But not just circumstances. When the enemy of my soul comes against me. And folks, I hate to say that maybe he's going to knock us down. But sometimes we feel like we've been knocked down. And I just don't have a breath left. And I just don't know if I can get up and continue on. What then? And he's staring at me in my face. Do I have the strength to get up? Do I have something to get up on? What am I standing on? What kind of foundation am I standing on? Is this foundation going to help me, or is this foundation cracked up and worn out? Is this foundation going to hold me and help me to stand where I need to stand? Am I counting on the things in my life to help me stand? What's that scripture say? It says life is but a vapor. We just sang that in a song. How would it be if we went and tried to sit or stand on a cloud? You'd fall right through it. We can't depend on the things in this life. We can't hold on to the things in this life. I can't rely. I cannot count on those things to help me stand, folks. I have to know where I stand with the Lord. I have to know what He's given me. Do I stand on promises? If so, what promise am I standing on? Be specific. In this trial, in this place I'm going through, and in this situation where the devil is standing over me and he's ready to hit me again, what promise am I going to stand on for this situation? Lord, help us to know where we're at. Lord, help us to know the importance of knowing the valleys, the tough battles that I'm going to face. You know, the last thing I want to happen is to be knocked off my feet or to be in a battle or to be pinned up against the wall and I reach down to go to grab a weapon and I don't have anything to grab. Lord, help me to know what is there for me. Lord, help me to know what tools are available for me. Lord, help me to know what I can grab to fight this battle. Lord, help me to know that You are one that I know that You can be there to help me. Lord, help me to know what's in here, in my heart. And again, folks, it has to start with honesty. I can say it all day long. I can say, I'm ready. For the most part, I've had a life of ease. In my personal life, I don't face much difficulty. There's a couple little things come along here and there that kind of ruffles my feathers and disturbs me a little bit. But for the most part, you sleep a couple nights and it goes away and everything goes back to normal. But it's in those times I can say, yep, I'm ready. I know what I need. I know what I need to do. I know what scripture I'm going to pull out next time. But I'm going to tell you, until you're in that situation, it might not be as easy as you think. We need to know. We need to know where we stand. Why are you here this morning? Do you know why you're here? Why do you do the things you do? Why do you believe the way you believe? Can you answer those questions with certainty? Can you look ahead to the things you think you might face and know and prepare for those things that you think you might face? You know, that's the beautiful thing about this. It is important that we know. And when we face those things, because I'm going to tell you folks, those things we face in life, they're going to expose what we know. Those things are going to expose in our lives what we have. Those things are going to expose and let us know. We're going to, at that point in your life, you're going to know. You're going to know where you stand. When it comes down to it, and decisions have to be made, you're going to know. But the beautiful thing about it is, we don't have to wait to those times. We don't have to wait till we find ourselves in those circumstances, in those situations in life. We can know now. We can be certain now that we have something to stand on and that we have something to hold on to. I can know now what kind of foundation I'm standing on. I can know now, if I'm honest with myself and I search my heart and I'm spending time that I need to spend before the Lord and I'm crying out to Him and I'm asking Him, Lord, where am I at? Lord, is what I have good enough? That can be done now. We don't have to wait. We don't have to wait till we're pinned up against the wall. We don't have to wait till we're lying flat on our back. We don't have to wait till the enemy of our souls is staring us in the face and ready to hit us again. We don't have to wait. We can know now. We can be certain now. We can know the promises now. We can stand on those promises. I can know now in my heart what it means. I can know what God means to me. But folks, I can't afford to go through life wondering. I can't afford to go through life not knowing where I'm really at. I can't afford to come to service and not really know why I'm here. I can't afford to say, I believe this way and I believe that way, and if this happens, I think I'll do this. It's too dangerous of a situation to put yourself in. We need something concrete. And we need to know with all certainty that this is where I'm at, this is what the Lord has given me, and this is what I want to stand on. I don't want to be left standing unprepared. I want to be ready, and I want to know that I'm ready. So do you know? Do you know what you're standing on? Are you standing on a bunch of words on paper? Are you standing on traditions? Do we count on traditions to get me through? Because my grandma and my grandpa, they did it this way for years. And brother so-and-so 100 years ago, he did it this way. Folks, traditions won't win the battles for us. Words on paper won't win the battles for us. Habits. Things we do over and over just because we do them won't get us out of a bind if we find ourselves in a bind. A bunch of rules and regulations. Well, so-and-so said I got to do it this way, this way, this way, and this way. And if I don't do it, you know, that's not going to win battles for us. I've got to know in my heart. I've got to have something to stand on for myself. Just because any one of y'all out there have something to stand on, you standing on your promise and you standing on something God has given you, I can't stand on that. I have to know I have it for myself. I believe Job knew Job had something, and he knew. Look at all the things he went through, and he said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord. I know my Redeemer lives." Paul said, I am determined not to know anything except Jesus. That's what I'm determined to know. The importance of knowing. I hope we have something within us, dear ones, that we are certain, that we are confident, that we know for sure. I hope we can answer that question. That I have something to stand on when the going is going, I know it's going to get tough. Lord, help me to know. I asked you to write down a question on a piece of paper. And I asked you to answer that question. Your favorite place to be, or if you could go anywhere, where would that place be? And I wasn't looking at your pens and pencils, so I don't know how quick you answered that question. I was writing something on the board. But I wonder, how quick did you answer that question? I know my wife. I know where her favorite place would be to go right now, and I know it probably didn't take her very long to answer that question. But I want you to write down another question, if you don't mind. Get out the same piece of paper. I want you to write down one more question. I want you to write down the question, I know, K-N-O-W, I know, I have, and then draw a blank. I want you to look at that and think about your first question. Think how quickly and how confident you were when you answered that first question. Oh, I want to go here. I want to go there. This is my favorite place to be, and this is why. But your last question, I want you to write, for I know, K-N-O-W, know, that I have, and then draw a blank. And I don't want you to answer it on paper, but I want you to think about it. Fill in that blank in your own mind. Can you answer that blank with all the confidence and with all the assurance in your mind that you answered the first question? Does it come to your mind like that? Are you sure? Do you know what you have? Do you know the answer to that question? How sure can you be when you write down that that's what you really have? And how quickly can you answer that question? Lord, help us to know. Help us to be sure. Help me to have something to stand on. Help me to have something to hold on to. Lord, help me to have something from you that I can know and hear. Help me to be honest with myself that when I go to assess myself and my life and where I'm at and the things that I have, Lord, help me to know if those are strong enough to get me to where I need to go. Lord, help me to know with all certainty that you are here. I appreciate your time and attention. Lord, help us to know. Y'all pray for me.